Kelly Makiha is with us, and thanks for your time. She's a Rotorua Daily Post senior journalist. Kia ora, Kelly.
Kia ora, Catherine. Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. Among your hard work, often the people stories, and there certainly is one here. Can we just begin with the plight of a young boy who needs a bone, needed a bone marrow donor, please?
Yeah. Look, this is a real beauty. So this, you know, the wonderful part of this journalism job that we have is spreading the word about incredibly important messages. And in this story's case, it could help save the life of a dear wee Rotorua boy who urgently needs help. So if you're Māori or Pacific Islander and you're listening to me right now and you're aged between 18 and 35, turn up that radio because te Wārakihi Hupa Felisi needs you. So he's now spent 3 months in hospital in Auckland, or at Ronald McDonald House, or at the children's hospital up there, after going downhill in February with a rare blood condition. So basically his bone marrow doesn't work, and as we've put it in our stories, and he's in a race against time to find somebody. They received devastating news that there's no matches for the little fella on the worldwide bone marrow registry. So yeah, he's Tokelauan and Māori descent, and the pool of donors for people like that are so much smaller. So now his family, led by his incredible nanny Mahara Hupa, is on a crusade to shoulder tap as many Māori and Pacific Island people as possible. And yeah, that's where we came in with TVNZ, and we highlighted the family's plight, and just tried to motivate as many people as we could, yeah, just to get help and do a simple test. So yeah, it's done well.
And you can still learn more if you want to be part of this.
Yeah, you can. Look, I mean, if you can just go to our Daily Post website, and you know, all you have to do is just do a simple swab test, and then they work it out from there what you have to do. So, don't feel like you actually have to give bone any bone. That's what I think, it's a bit of a misconception. But for this one, it's just a sake of taking a simple swab test, and they go from there. There's been about 500 people have come forward since we did the story, which is amazing. Amazing results. But yeah, let's keep it going because it may not be enough and we still don't know.
All right. Now, one of your popular restaurants reopened, but this was after a freak accident.
Yeah, it was. It was indeed. So, it's fantastic news for Rotorua diners, because one of the best restaurants in town, if not the best, is open again. And it was forced to close 6 weeks ago after a car drove through the front doors of it. Basically, it lost control. The driver behind the wheel, he had a medical event of some sort. We haven't got to the bottom of what that was yet. Lost control, plowed through the front doors of the restaurant at speed. I think talked about this before, Catherine, I think, you know, when it happened at the time. But basically, just to keep you up to speed with what the story is about, Sian Habgood and her hubby Jethro were there having a rare night out together. They got three kids, so they probably don't go out for dinner very often. Sian heard a loud bang, and she looked up, and just as she looked up, she saw this car hurtling towards her at speed. So that must have been so frightening. But she had time to quickly stand, turn, and run, and those split second actions really saved her life. So when she ran and turned and ran across the restaurant, the car still collected her back, and it threw her 7 metres across the restaurant floor, and that flung her against the wall. So yeah, she suffered horrific injuries, honestly, like broken bones galore, torn spleen, you name it, she had it. So and the damage inside the restaurant was immense, but they've managed to be able to rebuild, because there was a little bit of a risk there that the builders would, and the insurance company would say, no, it's just too badly damaged. It was like key walls and that were knocked over. So yeah, she's unfortunately got a very long road to recovery, and she still can't really walk that well. But if I guess give a little page floating around for her, if this resonates with you and you've got a few dollars you can flick her way, I'm sure she'd appreciate it, with those three little kitties that she's got to look after as well.
All right. Now, other news from your patch this week. There's concern from some residents about the aesthetics of a Kāinga Ora site where new units are taking shape. We've spoken previously about the amount of building that's happening in the district, Kelly, and we know that the housing challenge is there. But there's concerns about the early stages, anyway, of this development.
Yeah, that's right. Well, residents were a bit shocked. I guess, when they just started seeing these units starting to be dropped off on the site, and it's at the Renoff and Malfoy roadside, if you know Rotorua very well. And the units, and if we're, I mean, let's be fair, on the face of it, they look like shipping containers. Stay tuned. They've been stacked one or two high, so one on top of the other, and that they're still yet to be finished. So they're a long way off being finished already. Locals are, crying, "Oh my gosh, they look like trailer park. We look like a trailer park." And other residents are worried, saying that they look peekaboo straight down into their backyards. But Kāinga Ora, of course, have been quick to defend the criticisms and have given us an artist's impression of what they will look like when they're finished. And they assure us they're not containers. They definitely aren't shipping containers. They are fully insulated and they're up to every New Zealand building standard and code you can muster. We must say we've got to sit back and look and see what they look like when they're done, and maybe reserve some criticisms until then.
I think that's I think that's just kind of the instinct, really, isn't it, to see something in its early stages. I do know that you watch if you watch the odd sort of architecture show on TV or Grand Designs or whatever, and certainly I can think of the capital. There's been some developments that have been based on container style structures because we're looking for faster ways to get things done, right?
Yeah.
What sort of assurance did people were people able to give about what they would look like when they're finished?
Well, I mean, they get to if you I've sent it through a photograph of what they're going to look like for your website. So if you're interested, you could probably pop on there and have a look and see what they're going to look like, because they do actually look quite nice, to be honest. They've got to yet have roofs, verandas, downpipes, stairs, gardens, everything like that added. So I guess when you look at a shipping container, you might think steel, metal, it's gonna you're gonna have like running, what is it, condensation on the inside and that kind of thing. But yeah, they reckon it's gonna be quite good. So the single bedroom, so that's only one room and a kitchen. So that's the other argument too. We've got locals saying, what's the difference between this and a motel, where we're all crying foul at the moment about, people living in emergency housing motels, and then we're building something down the road that looks exactly the same. So with no room to run around in. So yeah, interesting.
All right. Now, a local teenager's impressed you at the recent Anzac commemorations?
Has he what? I mean, I love ending things on a high, and Rotorua has got some amazing people, and I was so pleased to meet one of them last week at Anzac Day. And you look, us old people, we're so quick to bag young people these days. They're this, they're that, they've got no ears, they're lazy. We do go on and on, us oldies, sometimes. So how blinking refreshing was it to see a natural-born leader like Jared Lathicke burst into the national spotlight, and on our National Day, Catherine, as well, to boot, which was awesome. So now I've been to a few ceremonies, and I'm sure you have in your career as well. Over, I've been 28 years in this journalism job, and I have to say, sometimes at these ceremonies, the speeches do drag on and on a bit. But this year, the Rotorua Anzac Day Civic Service, with the who's who of Rotorua lining the stage, I wasn't expected to be blown away and by a 17-year-old. So his speech was going on swimmingly. He was talking about Anzac Day, what it meant to him with the efforts of his grandfather during the war. And then he ended his speech by giving New Zealanders a bit of a serve and saying how we can learn a thing or two from our ancestors about not being divisive. And he said everyone was united in supporting the boys overseas at war, yet divisions formerly reserved for the battlefield had gradually crept their way into our daily lives and now divided people. And I'll just quote from his speech if I can, if that's all right. He said, "In recent memory, I struggle to remember a time when our country truly came together. Divisiveness seems to be the new aim of the game. Race, political beliefs and religion are all motivators for the separating of our people. People are more concerned with being correct and proving their point as opposed to being constructive." And then he went on to say that our Anzacs could see the purpose greater than themselves and put aside any petty and arbitrary differences. Yeah, so I was sitting there and I'm like, whoa, okay. So the applause erupted and I'm busy writing in my notebook furiously. my story on his speech went national, and he was picked up by other media, including TV, and he received so many cool comments and praise on Facebook and Instagram, etc. So it was, yeah. Sometimes you might think, I don't know, when you hear someone talk like that, you're like, oh God, dad's written a really good speech for his son here, or, you know, he's done really well. But I gave him a call, and man, what a neat kid, you know. Right. It was awesome. It was just so cool.
Good stuff. Good find. Thanks so much, Kelly Makia, who is with the Rotorua Daily Post. She's senior journalist there, our regional correspondent today.